Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Barbara Grace Reynolds, and this is the show, Get the Answers to Life's Questions, a show that was created to help you to make those changes in your life. Because when you are making those changes within yourself, then you are making changes in the world. And today I have a special guest. Her name is Betsy Thompson, and she has written a book that really I just absolutely love. It talks about making those changes. It talks about who we are and who we can create ourselves to be. So, Betsy, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm so delighted that you accepted. Now, I'm going to let you tell everyone all the wonderful things about you.
Well, I don't know. I'm no different from anybody else, really. I just spend my time doing what I love doing. And hopefully that's what everybody is doing. And I love to write, and I have this gift of being able to communicate with spirit, and so I use it every chance I get.
Wonderful. Well, your latest book, I just have to say, I love this one the most. So.
Okay.
Although, all of your books that I've read have been wonderful. I just love this one the most. I don't know, maybe it's just my time for reading what you wrote, but every word I read is just like, oh, wow, she's so right. So tell everybody about this incredible book.
Well, tell me, first of all, what you like so much about this book.
I like, from the very first word that I read, I like the fact that, for me, it rings true. It's like, you know, you're saying the truth, and you're putting it in words that people can understand and using concepts that make sense in people's minds. But I don't know how to.
Okay, that's I love hearing that, because when I first started writing, Barbara, it was maybe 25 years ago, and it felt to me like the new age or the new spirituality that was emerging was wonderful, but there was a lot that confused me because it seemed to be stated in such a complicated way that I wasn't sure I understand what I was reading or what I was hearing. And so my goal when I started writing was to make, I believe that if something was true, then it had to be easy to understand, because I didn't think that God would want us searching for answers that we would be saying to ourselves, well, how am I supposed to understand that? So that's really basically when I started writing, I wanted everything to be said in plain English so that we knew exactly what Spirit was talking about. And so that's the focus of all my writing, to make everything logical and easy to understand, because I do believe we live in a logical universe, and so why wouldn't everything within the universe be logical too? And that includes us. And so the book is basically, Love Human, is it focuses on finding comfort in a world where uncomfortable things happen. And it's about seeing the big picture of where we come from before we're here, where we're going after we leave here, and what being here is really all about. And so it focuses on embracing the world as it is and the people here as they are, and loving whatever that is. Now, when I say loving whatever that is, I mean at least releasing people to their own journeys. Not because we live in a perfect world, which probably will never be perfect, but because as we love and accept life as it is, life, love and acceptance grow. And that's really basically what we all want to happen. We want the world to become more loving and more accepting. And so that's how we need to live our lives if we want the big picture to resemble the small picture.
And that so reflects my life, especially in the last several months with everything that I've gone through, and with the understanding that fighting against, you know, whatever it is we decide to fight against is really a complete and utter waste of time. It's only when you accept it and say, okay, this is how it is, now who am I going to be, that things start to change.
Yes, because when you fight something, you join the fighters.
Yes.
I mean, it's like your energy. I love the idea that you can't be working for peace if you're fighting the people you don't think are peaceful. You've already joined the fighters.
Yeah, that's true. But
so you have to live your life the way you wish other people would. It's not about changing other people. It's not about telling them they're doing the wrong thing. It's about living the way you wish they would. And it's not that complicated. It's complicated when you think you have to solve the problems of the world. You don't have to. You just have to solve the problems in your own life and what's not working for you.
That's right. And what's not working for you is just something that's come up to get your attention so that you can make the changes so that it works for you. And
yes.
It's not a problem. It's an opportunity. Everything's an opportunity.
Yes. And what works for you is what you want to get back. That's what works
yes.
for you, and that's what works for me. You know, giving people what I want to receive, that's what works.
That everything that you say in this book, I've read, I've only read 14 of the chapters, just 20, so I still have 6 to go. So, you know, I may change my mind by the end, but I don't see that happening.
Okay.
But everything that you're saying is really giving people good examples of what you're talking about. And, you know, you made that wonderful list of things that really did make me want to go, you know, and then you have that list of what God really is and what life really is about, which made me go, oh, that's so wonderful. You know, so you did it in a way that really allows people to experience what you're saying. And I think
right.
that's really great.
Because, you know, when you come right down to it, it's everybody's journey is very individual, and I did that list, and when I was doing it, you know, I thought to myself, I wonder how people are going to react to this, but it is, you know, you're doing it, you're reading it by yourself, you're doing your own little inventory inside of you as you read it, and that's basically what growth is all about, doing your little internal, you know, reviews and seeing, does this apply to me, and what can I do about it if it does?
Right, and that's really what a lot of people don't really get. They think that in order to change their life, they have to find the perfect job, the perfect mate, the perfect, you know, whatever it is they think is out there for them, for their lives to be perfect, instead of looking within themselves and seeing what it is that they believe and then changing those beliefs to match what it is that they really want to live.
Right. I think if you look for your happiness in the picture of life, you never find it, because the picture, happiness is an emotion, and you can't find emotion from changing the picture that you're living or changing the friends in your life. You find emotion from going within and finding it in yourself. And once you find it in yourself, then you find your mirror of self in other people. In other words, you attract energy to you that reflects the energy that you are putting out there. So if you're putting out there, I can't find what I need, I can't find what I need, I can't find what I need, you attract a lot of people into your life who can't find what they need either.
Yeah. And I often tell people, you know, if every time you look around you find people who are being real jerks, then you might want to look at yourself.
Yeah, ask how you've made someone else feel the same way. How have you, you know, jerked somebody around, or how have you attracted that back to yourself? It's always about that. It always will be. It's never going to change, because we live in a world that's run by physics, and thank goodness that's true.
Mm-hmm. And that is wonderful, the way that, you know, you present the information in the book. And I really do encourage everyone to read this book. I'm not saying this because Betsy's paying me, you know, $20 million or anything. I'm saying this because this is a good book and you guys should read it. It has some wonderful insights that can change people's lives. And I just want everyone to be a part of that. When I find something that works, I always encourage people to do it, to read it, to feel it, to experience it, because that's what we're all looking for. We're looking for those answers about ourselves and our lives. And if you find something that's giving you those answers or giving you the insight that's going to lead you to the answers within you, then I would definitely recommend that to anyone who's looking for those answers. And I think your book is one of those wonderful books that people will benefit from reading.
Well, thank you, Barbara. I certainly benefited from writing it and hearing the message myself. And so, you know, when I write a book, I benefit just as much as everybody else, because I'm hearing the ideas myself, and then I have the opportunity to apply them to my life.
Yeah, that's really the beauty of doing what it is that we love to do. You know, it's like when I'm doing the Infinity Healing with people and I'm feeling it, incredible energy, and it's changing my life, it's changing their lives, and it's just something that I want to share with everybody. When you're really living what you love, you want to share it. It's not like you want to hide it in the closet so no one else will know. You want it out there. You want everybody to know.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
Okay, I suppose I should ask the question that you sent me, since I've just been going on and on. Let me see. Well, we've kind of talked about what Love Human is about. So you've already mentioned really why you wrote it. Is there any other reason why you wrote it?
Well, it was mostly because I was sort of swept up into the New Age movement. I mean, I was hearing a lot of beautiful answers, but not all of them were confusing. I was hearing some that I liked, but they didn't completely satisfy me the way I wanted to feel satisfied. And so writing Love Human was asking, at that time, all the questions that I had that I didn't feel that the answers I'd heard were completely satisfying to me. And so I'm always wondering when I sit down to write anything what I'm going to hear. And especially if I have a book I'm writing, I get very curious about what I'm going to hear. And so, you know, this book really satisfied me in many areas of my life in terms of getting an answer that I could work with and I could run with. And so basically that I wrote it, and I've written every book because I have questions that I want answers to. And I'm hoping that they'll answer the questions that other people have. But, you know, we're all so individual that my book might encourage you to ask even more questions. And hooray for you if you do.
That's true. And, you know, when we pick up a book and we start to read it, if it's the right time for us to read that book, we find that reading it is just so incredibly easy. You just fly through the book. And sometimes you pick up a book and you start to read it, and it feels like you're trying to walk through knee-deep mud, you know. The book is just not the vibration for you at that moment. And I've learned that when that happens, I just put the book down and, you know, pick it up later. And later, sometimes it just flows. And so everything happens at the right moment for your journey. So if somebody buys the book based on my recommendation and it doesn't fit with who you are, don't be worried. Just set the book aside. Wait a couple of weeks, pick it up, and try it again.
Yeah. That's true, because you know why? Because your soul knows that you're trying to, by the very fact of having that book in your presence, your soul knows that there's something in there that you want to understand. And so if you put it down, in the interim between the time that you put it down and you pick it up, your soul is working on getting you those answers in a way that you can understand in the world in which you live, so that by the time you pick it up again, you will have already experienced something that answers a question that you had in the book.
Yeah, and that's true really with anything that we do in our lives. I recently started a class on with Infinity Healing on money issues, and when people decided that they wanted to take the class, money changed in their lives, and some
yes.
people had money miraculously appear so that they could afford to take the class. You know, but it's, whenever we realize that this is the step that I am choosing, this is where I want to go, then we really are starting to create all
yes.
of the energy that is in alignment with that.
Yes. It's we are telling the universe, this is important to me and this is something I want to understand. And so then the soul gets busy bringing everything to you that will help.
Yeah. And actually, you mentioned somewhere in the book, I can't word it the way you did, about the universe is, you know, sometimes we get taught that the world or the universe is against us, and instead of that, you were saying that the universe is a tool that we use for our own growth. So
yes,
the universe
yes.
is there for us.
Yes. You know, the universe is not the master. We are the master. We are the master. We created the universe for our growth. The universe didn't create us. We have everything backwards sometimes, thinking that somehow the universe is this powerful entity. We are the powerful entity living in a place that we created ourselves for our own personal delight. And the universe is reflective. It's reflective energy, so that it's constantly keeping us aware of our progress and where we are and how we stand and how we interact with other people, because we attract back the people who reflect how we are interacting. And so everything in our lives is reflective energy. And when we have somebody in our life who reflects our energy, and then we make a great leap in growth, or somebody else makes a great leap in growth that we aren't willing to take, we are no longer the mirror of each other, and so we separate and go our separate ways so that each of us can again find our mirrors, whoever they are. So when life changes for you, it isn't because the universe is being cruel to you. The universe is just giving you back your expression of love in that moment. Because, you know, the universe thinks everything is love. The universe doesn't say, oh, okay, this person's loving, that person isn't. The universe sees everyone as having love in their hearts and being a loving entity and being a part of the whole of love. But we are the ones who express or define what we interpret as love. So, for instance, if I say something cruel to a person in my life, the universe says, oh, Betsy thinks cruelty is love. And so let's give her lots more of what she loves. And so then people are cruel to me, because this is what I've told the universe I want to receive. You know, whatever you act out, the universe says that's Betsy's interpretation of love. So that's why kind people are usually with kind people. Cruel people are with cruel people. Fighters are with fighters. You know, that's the way it is, because you are facing yourself. And once you, if you get out of that mode, the fighter becomes a peaceful person, then the fighter, the fighters that were in that person's life will subside, and the peaceful people will enter to keep the reflection accurate.
Yeah. And it's funny, because when you were saying that, I have this, what do they call it when you have this, I don't know, this moment of, you know, the light bulb went off, the one over my
head. Yes.
Because they've been working on the street next to this house for weeks, and they tore up the street, and they're redoing the infrastructure. And I just had the realization that that's what I've been doing with myself.
Oh, I love that, Barbara.
I'm changing my infrastructure. So
yes.
The street is reflecting me.
Yes, I love that. That's great. Oh.
So now I have a whole new way of looking at that wonderful construction that's going on.
Yes. It's like you turned a negative into a positive by finding the growth it was offering and by finding the reflection it was offering. And now when you think of that noise, you can smile instead of frown.
Well, it didn't really upset me. It upsets the dog. She's afraid of thunder, and big machines sound like thunder and wind. But she's getting used to it, so.
Good.
Okay, we have a couple of callers, if you are willing to take some calls.
Sure.
I'm not sure what they want, but hey, we'll find out. Okay,
okay.
Area code 773.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Jay. I'm calling from Chicago.
Hi, Jay. What can we do for you today?
All right. It's similar to what you guys were talking about. I recently had an argument with a friend of mine. Her name is Carrie. A few weeks ago. And she haven't talked to me. She blocked all communications and stuff like that. So I was just calling to see if we're going to reconcile and what things should I do in order to make the universe make that happen, or, you know, stuff.
Can
like
I
that.
Answer
Sorry.
That?
Sure.
Of course.
Well, okay, Jay, first of all, do you have a piece of pencil and a paper beside you?
I have one now.
Okay. I want you to write down all the qualities that you want Carrie to have, or you want any woman to have who's in your life. Just write down five things, the qualities you want that person to have.
Okay.
And while you're writing them down, I just want to say that this would apply not just to Carrie, but to any woman that you hope to have in your life, that you hope to find and be with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Do you have some?
Yes.
Okay. So the thing is, you must look at that list of what you have made for yourself. This is your personal list of all the qualities you want Carrie to have, or that people, or a woman to have who comes into your life. Now, for the next week, I want you to go out and give those qualities to every single person that you meet, because this is how you attract Carrie into your life, or the person who is like Carrie, or the person who you want in your life, really. Carrie might not be able to give those things back to you, and if she can't, she won't come back. However, if you give those qualities and those whatever it is that you said that you wanted to find in another person to other people, then that person will come back to you. You won't have to do a thing. You only have to be the person you want Carrie to be to attract a Carrie-like person into your life. If you don't give those qualities, then you get the person who has the qualities you do give.
Okay.
This is the exercise I give to people who say they want to find their soulmate, they want to find the person that is right for them, and I tell them to make this list because unless you are living what you want the other person to have, that person is off finding, somebody else. You have to be the person you want the person to be who you want to come into your life. You have to be that person. You have to have that kind of energy. That's the only way they will come and stay, because you are with people who reflect your energy.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you one more thing. Tell me the thing, write down the thing. You don't have to share it with anybody. Write down the thing that annoys you the most about Carrie.
Okay. All right.
Okay, you have that written down?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because if you don't keep it written down, you'll want to forget it. That's how it works. You know, ego comes in and makes you forget what you said. Okay, so now this is something you need to look in yourself. Instead of looking at Carrie, you have to ask yourself, if Carrie makes you feel a certain way, which I'm assuming is true because that's what makes us unhappy about the people we're with. They make us feel a certain way. Then who are you making feel that way? Not Carrie, maybe somebody else. Could be Carrie, could be somebody else, could be someone in your family, could be a friend. It could even be someone you don't even know that you're thinking about in a way that is really unkind or unpleasant or irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So this is really a study that you do within yourself, which is what creates the kind of person you want in your life. Because, for instance, let's say, for instance, now you haven't shared any of this with me, so I'm just going to throw something out there. Say that when you're with Carrie, you spend a lot of time talking about your job. And you talk and talk and talk about your job all the time. And then you attract somebody into your life who is constantly talking about something that they're interested in with no interest in what you're interested in. And that's how the mirror comes back. It doesn't mean that you attract somebody who has who constantly talks about their job. It just means that you attract somebody back into your life who doesn't have compassion or the entity to include the other person in the conversation or to invite them in to talk about what interests them too. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if that has anything to do with you. I'm just throwing it out there that whatever you put out as your expression toward another person is what you're going to attract back to you. And that's why it irritates you so much. You don't want to look at yourself. You want to say the problem is with the other person, not with yourself. But you create from the inside out, not the outside in, which means that however you behave, you attract back.
Right. The energy I put out is the energy I put out is the energy that I receive. So
yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And so, when you're talking about, you know, what irritates you the most about Carrie, ask how she makes you feel. If she makes you feel put down, she makes you feel inadequate, whatever the word is, then you have to ask how you're putting down somebody else or you're making someone else feel inadequate, because that's why Carrie's in your life, to show you yourself.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And when it works the same way in a positive emotion, you know, when you put out a lot of kindness and love, you attract back in people into your life who have a lot of kindness and love to share with you.
Okay.
Absolutely. You won't believe it until you prove it to yourself. These are all things you have to do yourself to realize that they're true. Because other people's words can never convince you of something. You have to live it yourself.
That's true. Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
And Jay, once you start living those energies, then you may find that you don't really want to have Carrie back in your life, that you don't need to have her because you've learned what you needed to learn from her being there. In which case, don't fight to get Carrie back, because if you're fighting, you're actually going against what you really want from your heart, because your heart doesn't fight. So just be aware of what you're feeling, because sometimes our brains will tell us we have to have that person, and that's not true.
Okay. Okay. All right, I got it.
Now you get to have fun, right?
Right. Get to kick it.
You got the tools today. Now you just have to put them into effect.
Okay. I will definitely start doing that immediately, ASAP.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay, for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Well, have fun.
Thank you.
Okay. To wait for my computer. All right, our next caller is from area code 831. Hi,
good morning.
Good morning.
This is Christina. How are you guys?
Hi,
love
Christina.
The topic. Hi. Could you say the name of your book again?
Love Human.
I'm going to have to get that.
H-U-M-A-N. Love Human.
And can I order that off Amazon, or is there
a
website?
Yes, you can. Yes. If you go
is there a way to download the book, or do I need
to get a paperback? Yes, you can. It's on Kindle, and it's hard copy and Kindle. Yes, you can. Just go to Amazon and put in Books by Betsy Otter Thompson, and it will all come up.
Thank you for that, because I really feel like I was guided here by Spirit today, and everything that I've heard, it resonates with me, and I'm going to have to use some of those tools to get some answers in my own life. So thank you for having the courage and the desire to put this book out.
You're
and,
very welcome. You're very
I had
welcome.
A question.
Okay.
And the question that I have is, I've been in a relationship for a while, and I wanted to know if I'm the only person he's seen romantically.
How do you feel? Why are you even asking that question, first of all?
That was what I was going to ask.
because I came across some information that would appear that I'm not, but he tells me that it looks bad, but I'm the only person, and I just don't think I'm getting the full truth.
Okay, so if you had only
one option,
If you had only one option, and the option was that you had to trust your feelings over any words you heard, what would you believe? In other words, words are just noises coming out of somebody's mouth. It is the emotion that is coming from this person that is telling you the truth. So you have to ask yourself, what is the emotion coming from this person that has me asking this question? It isn't words to tell you the truth. It's feelings. Your feelings tell you the truth. So this is a great exercise in realizing what is real and what is not real. Noises and words are not real. If you heard somebody speaking in Japanese, would you understand what they were saying?
No.
Okay, but if they were, you could sense their emotions because you can always sense the emotions in other people. So they might be saying something.
Well, then I'd have to say I am the only person then. But I feel like there's a reason why this came about. I think part of it's learning to trust my own inner voice. That's why I'm just conflicted, because I don't feel like I feel like I am the only person.
Then I would trust that.
Okay.
Until you can't trust it anymore. If you want to make sure that, in other words, here's something that you can do for yourself. You don't have to involve him in it at all. You can just make sure you want this person to be trustworthy. Obviously, it's very important to you that this person is trustworthy, right?
Yeah.
So that you must be trustworthy in every way with everyone else around you. Not necessarily just with him, but with everybody. What was that?
I really believe that.
Yeah,
I really, you know, when you were speaking to the person before me, and even with your book, that message, you know, be the change that you want to see in others, you know.
Exactly.
And even if we don't really realize that, wow, our subconscious speaks louder than our waking state, it's really important for me to get clear on what the little girl inside is crying about. You know,
yeah.
How is she really feeling? So that I can go in and heal that, so I can make sure that I reflect the healing in myself to others around me. Otherwise, like exactly what you were saying, you're going to attract people who will reflect back how you do feel about yourself. Yes. That's why I'm like, I need to get my hands on this book, because she knows what she's talking about.
Okay. Listen, I want you to do a little exercise for yourself, too. I want you to make a list of all the people in your life, whether they're in your job, whether they're in your family, whether they're your sister, buddies, whoever they are, and go and look at them one by one and ask yourself, am I being completely trustworthy with this person? And this is your family, your job, everywhere that you go and are. Ask yourself, am I being completely trustworthy with these people? Because if you spend the next 3 weeks being completely trustworthy with the people in your life, then this person that you're talking about, this boyfriend, is it? Yes. Okay. What he does isn't going to affect you any longer. If you're trustworthy, and he's still in your life, and you're still feeling the same way about him, then you can believe that he's trustworthy too. If he isn't, he's not going to stay in your life very long, because if you're very trustworthy and he isn't, you aren't going to be compatible energy anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay?
And actually, this question's been on my mind for about 9 months, and I realized back when all this came up that, hey, you know, even though I would come to you and tell you, hey, I'm really sorry, I lied about this or that, and I don't like the way I feel, and I don't want to have that type of a relationship, it was great that I came forward, but I didn't stop. I might have some space go in between not being trustworthy, and then I would, you know, talk to this person and tell them. And since it's been 9 months, I have been completely, everything's turned around, because I knew if I'm not, this person's not going to stay in my life.
Right.
And I wouldn't want someone to do that to me. I mean, it's great that I'm telling them, but I still need to look at myself and you know, be trustworthy. So for the past 9 months, I have been. And not only in that area, but I've really been looking inside at my qualities and saying, okay, I need to forgive myself and let go. Otherwise, I keep myself stuck in this and everyone else around me.
Right.
So, and he's still here, and he's still wanting to grow. The difference between him and me is that I would find out that he was lying. And he would lie and lie until I found out, oh, well, you weren't lying. And then with me, I would go and I would tell him. And since then, we've really been communicating and being trustworthy with each other. I just wasn't sure what his intentions were. And like you said, if he's not, then eventually that will show up and he won't be in my life anymore. But
yeah, and he won't be in your life simply because you aren't compatible and anymore. So it's about really trusting you, which I think you realize already. It's about you creating what you want by the way you behave. And you know, we all have this aura around us that represents what we're putting out into the universe. And we all it is our message to the universe of who we are and what we stand for. So say, for instance, that you're always in a trustworthy place with the people around you, and someone comes into your life who isn't trustworthy, even if that person isn't trustworthy around you, it isn't going to bother you. It's going to come towards you and then bounce off your aura and not impact you, because the only feelings that come into your life are the feelings that you have given to others, because that is your invitation to receive that feeling. But if you have not given that feeling, then it will bounce right off your aura and it won't affect you at all. So if, say, for instance, that you are in this trustworthy place and this is where you live, from your heart, in a trustworthy place, and your boyfriend is not in that place, then it won't even be painful when he leaves, because you won't even be in the same energy.
Hello? I believe that.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry, my little puppy got up, and I had to walk her over to her little doggy mat.
Okay.
Sorry about that noise.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what? That's something that I've been longing for, because I don't want to hurt so horribly. I'm trying to look at, you know, we're simply in different places. If that is, you know, because to me that's something that I've been worried about, that I really feel like worrying about it is praying for it to happen. So I'm trying
to... Don't worry about it. Just live your own life the best you possibly can with all the qualities you want to attract back, and everything will just I mean, you know, if you're being kind in everything you do in your life, why would that part of it be suddenly unkind? You know, it won't
That's
be.
That's true.
It won't be.
Thank you for saying that. That's really, really helped. Thank
okay,
you so
good.
Much. Can I still listen on to the remainder of your show because I love what I'm hearing?
Yes, I'll just mute you and you can just listen and that's absolutely fine.
Thank you. Many blessings to you all.
To you too. Nice to talk
Thank
to you, Christina.
Thank you.
I was going to say something. Oh, about this. Okay, I remember. You know, what you were saying is really something that a lot of people don't get because they meet someone and they think, oh, okay, this is the person for me, this is my soulmate, whatever they create around it. And then they find that that person doesn't actually fit. It's not the right vibration, but they don't want to let go because they've convinced themselves that this is my soulmate, this is my one chance for love in my life because of all the garbage that we get taught. And it's so important to recognize whether or not it feels right.
Well, you know, I don't even think you have to worry so much about it, Barbara, because I think that the universe takes care of it whether you like it or not. In other words, if you aren't compatible, the universe you separate, you don't have to worry so much about it because it just happens. And, you know, I talked to a woman one time who said she told me that she was with somebody who abused her, and no matter what she did, he just kept abusing her. And I said, well, aren't you abusing yourself by staying in that relationship? And she just looked at me with this amazing look on her face and said, well, I didn't think that was, you know, I'm talking about how he treats me. And I said, well, I'm talking about how you treat yourself, because
yeah.
However you treat yourself, you invite other people to treat you.
Exactly.
So if you want to get out of an abusive relationship, you have to stop abusing yourself by being there, first of all.
That's true. But I seem to encounter a lot of people who are married to someone that they don't live with and haven't lived with for over 10, 20 years, but they're still married to that person. So, you know, to me that makes absolutely no sense. If you don't want to live with them, why on earth are you married to them?
Well,
I
can't comment on that because I don't really know what's going on in everybody's relationship, thank goodness. I can only answer the questions that come to me because I don't know what's going on with other relationships. I can talk about my relationships and how each one of them reflected something that was going on. You know, each when I saw the insecurity in another person, it was reflecting an insecurity in me that I needed to deal with. And when I dealt with it, then that person was no longer compatible. So, and they left my life, and that's happened enough times that I know, and not just with men, with women as well. When the energy is no longer compatible, it is no longer compatible. It's like oil and water; they don't mix.
You don't have to
do anything about it. It just happens. If you don't initiate it, it's initiated another way.
Yeah. And that's true for my relationships, too. I can see where each one came and I learned stuff, and when it was time to go, I left. So, you know, but I don't have any problems with leaving a relationship.
And, you know, that doesn't mean that some people aren't meant to be together for a lifetime for what they can teach the other. If they both grow together, if they get lots of marriages have ups and downs, big ups and downs, and they still stay together because they work through the ups and downs. They love each other enough to stay there and get and do what they had to do for themselves to make the relationship work. They grow in whatever way they need to make the relationship work. So it can, you know, you can find your growth in one relationship or in many relationships. It all depends on what is right for you and what works for you. It's very individual.
Right.
There is no right or wrong out there, people. There's no right or wrong, good or bad. There is simply what is. And whatever is, you attract back.
Yeah. And everybody attracts what is actually for their highest good so they can learn what they need to learn.
That's right. We're always growing. We come here because we're, you know, that's one of the reasons, that's one of the questions I had. Why, you know, for this book, why am I here? Well, if you had to ask yourself before you got here, you know, what reason do I have for going into humanness? Are you going to say, do you think you really said to yourself, I'm going to go there so I can be mean to people? I'm going to go there so I can fight battles, or I'm going to go there so I can be a horrible person. I mean, no, of course not. You go there because you hope you're going to find more love. That's why you come here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other reason that makes any sense. You go here, come here because you think it's an opportunity for you to learn what you didn't learn before, maybe in another lifetime. It's an opportunity for you to expand in a way you couldn't in another lifetime. I mean, I think when we leave this lifetime, the first questions we ask ourselves is, well, did it work? You know, did I find what I came here to find? And if you didn't, then you plan another lifetime and you try again, but you're a little bit wiser and a little bit knowing, and so you create a wise lifetime that probably works better than the one you just left. And it's just an ongoing thing. And why would it ever end if there's no end to how big energy can get? There's no end to how big energy can love. There's no end to that. It's an endless, infinite experience. And so we're always expanding no matter what.
Yeah. And sometimes we have a hard time accepting that things really do get better and better and better and better and better and better.
But we hit challenges along the way because when the challenges come, they always deal with something we don't want to look at. But, you know, that's what we're here for. I believe some of the challenges, I mean, probably most of the challenges we knew we were going to meet up with when we got here. And we wanted to meet up with them, and we can't always change them. I mean, they happen, but what we do determine how we feel about them, how we deal with them, and how we solve them, how we grow through them. That we do determine.
Yeah, we each have the ability to decide how we are being, not how the world is being or anything like that. It's all about who we are being, what we.
Yes.
Or experiencing or allowing or letting ourselves learn or not letting ourselves learn. It's all about us.
It is all about us. That's why it's so, you know, there's a chapter on judgment in this book that's really was important to me, because that's why it's so important that we can't judge other people. We have no idea what they were trying to learn by being here. We have no idea who they were before they got here, what other lifetimes they've had, what they need to experience while they're here. And so judgment just is not an appropriate emotion for anyone else. We just don't have the answers that could give us a judgment on their lives. We don't know. All we can trust is that they are playing with other people they need to play with for whatever reason they have, and that the soul in them is wise. That's the big thing. You know, when you ask yourself, when you see things that you don't understand in the world, or they confuse you, or people are doing things you think are cruel, we have to trust their souls are wise for what they're going through, because otherwise what you're saying is the soul in that person is a dummy, and that's not possible. It's not possible that the soul is a dummy, because it has the overall view of eternity within it, and it knows everything that's ever happened and never will happen. And so the soul knows exactly what that person has to go through. And to say otherwise, to judge their path, is to come from ignorance, because we don't know. We don't have the information to make any kind of a judgment. All we can do is trust that the people with us are the people we need to deal with, and the people other people are with are the people they need to deal with.
Yeah, it's a matter of accepting, even though we don't understand.
Exactly.
And the more time we spend in that energy of accepting, of just loving, then that brings more of that into our own lives.
Can you imagine anything more frustrating than thinking to yourself before you got here into this human game that you had to go into your lifetime and understand the choices of every single person who existed there?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, who would enter a game if that was the goal? I mean, nobody. Nobody. There would be nobody here. It's only about understanding yourself. That's always about what it is.
Well, we have two questions in the chat room.
Wonderful.
What is the first one? First one is from Jules. And I'd like insight on what would be a good career fit for me, and do you see a job coming soon?
Can you repeat that?
I'd like insight on what would be a good career fit for me, and do you see a job coming soon? And they say thank you.
What career does Jules hope to find?
Okay, we'll wait for Jules to answer that one. If there's a delay, there'll be a little bit of a delay. So we'll just go to the second question while we're waiting. And the second question is from Pat. And Pat wants to know how do you stay in the vibration of alignment, walking, knowing all the time, trusting your intuition?
How do you stay in that vibration?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the vibrations are love. The vibration is love. The vibration of love is to always think in terms of respect for other people, tolerance for other people, awareness of other people's needs, awareness of your own needs, treating other people the way you want to be treated. That's the vibration of love. If you want to stay in that vibration, you have to stay in the thoughts that create that vibration. When I started doing this work, I heard that, you know, I controlled, you know, somebody said to me that I controlled my thoughts. I said, what? What are you saying? I don't control my thoughts. The thoughts just come into my head and they're there. What am I supposed to do with them? Well, what I was supposed to do with them was put a thought in there that I liked instead of a thought that I didn't like. I think we get caught up in this idea that we're stuck in the thoughts we have, but we aren't. If we have thoughts we don't like, then we replace them with another thought. You cannot have two opposite thoughts going on at the same time. They aren't compatible. It's the same thing. Everything works inside of us that works outside of us. In other words, if you are in a vibration that is judging other people, then you are going to have people come into your life who also judge other people, and then that vibration grows. If you have a vibration of being tolerant of other people, you attract people into your life who are intolerant, and that vibration grows. So you are in charge of your vibration, and you keep that vibration high, the vibration of love, by giving to other people exactly what you want to get back. It's really not complicated. It's just staying focused on what it is you want to have in your own life. And that means that you don't spend all your time worrying about what other people are going through, what other people are doing. Don't watch the news at night for a week and tell me if you don't think your news, your vibrations have heightened. Because the news is telling you everything that is wrong with the world, not everything that is right in the world. You have to focus on what it is you want to focus on. You want to focus on what is good in the world. Then you have to keep your focus there. It's right back to what we were talking about before. It is an individual discipline. And if you are in a group of people where everybody is talking about what is wrong with the world, then you are increasing the vibration in you of what is wrong with the world. You want to find, some people like to be there. You have to ask yourself, are you a person who'd rather be there? Then what is it you really want to have, what your life to be? What do you want your vibration to be? Write down, do a list again. What do you want your vibration to be full of? And then be full of it.
And I agree with that completely. One of the things that I guess it happened last week is there was an earthquake in Nepal. I had no idea. I don't watch the news. And it wasn't until I was with some people who were like, oh, and that earthquake that happened, and I'm like, okay. So I just sent love to everybody involved, and I never went to the news to find out any details because it's already happened. I'm just sending love, and that's really all I need to do.
Yes, it's about trusting that if they weren't supposed to be in that earthquake, they wouldn't have been there. I mean, you know, you've heard stories of people who were supposed to be on a plane that crashed, and they didn't go on it for some reason. Well, all that means is that they weren't, it wasn't their time to go. And the soul knew it wasn't their time to go, so the soul made sure they weren't on that plane. The same thing is with the earthquakes. I truly believe that before we come here, we know when we're going to leave, or the soul knows when we're going to leave. The soul knows how we're going to leave, when we're going to leave, and why we're going to leave. And so it's about trusting the soul again. And you must feel that way because that's how you reacted to the earthquake, Barbara. I mean, deep down inside of you, you must trust that the souls who were involved in that were there for their own good reasons, and we don't have to understand those reasons.
Yeah, that's true. Anytime one of those major things, you know, school shootings or whatever, I really don't feel all of the horror and everything that everybody talks about, because I know that everybody involved, they knew that this was going to go on in their lives. They knew that this is how their life was going to end. This was the choice they made so that they could have the impact on the world that they wanted to have. And I respect that. And I know that when someone supposedly dies, since no one ever does actually die, that they're fine with it. They don't have any problem with it. It's the people here who make a big deal out of it and say, oh, no, their life was too short, blah, 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 blah. But that's not true.
No, it's not true. You know, it isn't a matter of how long a life you have in terms of the growth you find from being here. It's the lesson you wanted to learn or the gift you wanted to give. And some people come here for short times for the gift they can give, and then they go. And that's wonderful, too. Who's to say there is no right or wrong? I just keep going back because I believe it so strongly. And, you know, I have my own I'm no different from anybody else. I have all my own challenges, too, of remembering the ideas that I believe in. I try to go to what's going on with me as quickly as possible. But, you know, I'm human like everybody else.
Yep, that's true.
Yep.
Okay, Jules gave us an answer. Let's see. Jules wants something that is enjoyable, and they want to help, but they don't want to be heavy. I want to feel at the end of the day that I made a positive difference. I've done clerical in the past, but not sure that's something I want to do again. I like being creative, but not sure how to do that in a career. Wouldn't mind being clerical while I figure out my next step.
Well, I would say to Jules that he should ask himself, is it a woman or man? I don't know, Jules, whoever you are, man or woman.
I have no idea.
What you need to do is, what came to my mind when I was hearing that is that you should volunteer in an area that's interesting to you. Volunteer your time when you're not earning a living, doing something you love. Just giving your time, saying, I'd like to help out here. Because that's how you start going in a direction that feels good to you, by just making sure the universe knows you're interested in that direction. You know, when I finally acknowledged that I was going to write, I was almost homeless at the time. I was like a phone call away from being homeless. And I had this gift, and I knew I had it when I was 5 years old, and I told my sister what I was doing, and she went ballistic, and she teased me so unmercifully that I stopped doing it. And it wasn't until I was almost homeless that I said to myself, my life is not working, so I'm going to see what happens if I honor the gift. And so I had a job in 3 weeks in the entertainment business, and I worked for the same man for the next 18 years. Now, I'm not saying this job was all peaches and cream, and this job was everything I wanted it to be, but what it was, but I worked for a very nice person, which was wonderful, and I was able to write in the evenings and do what I really loved. I mean, I'm not saying that, and the job was everything I needed in terms of my personal growth. It was everything I needed. I had all the experiences in that job that I needed to make my writing better because of learning the lessons that I needed to learn. Now, so Jules, that wasn't what I would have said was my ideal job. But it turned out to be my ideal job after I looked for what was good about it and appreciated the people I had in my life who I liked so much who were in the job. So go out and find something that you can do, even if it's, and probably at first it will be volunteer. And then if you have to get a job as a clerical to support yourself while you do what you love on the off hours, then all the better. Because there's no way the universe can respond to what you want to do if you don't show the universe what that is.
Okay, so Jules is a woman, and Jules is saying, I wish I could remember what I enjoyed doing when I was 5. I was a loner child, so I'm sure I had to create things to entertain myself.
Well, you're not 5 anymore, so you can think out in a broader vein. You can think in a broader vein. Just ask yourself, who would need your help? You know, ask yourself, what kind of an organization would need my volunteer help, and where would I enjoy being? It doesn't have to be the perfect answer the first time, you know. You can go one step at a time. No one is expecting you to have all your answers tomorrow. Give yourself a break. You know, be a little easier on yourself. Just find one little activity that would be fun to do and volunteer your time. It would be helpful to others in some way. One step at a time.
And one of the things that I find works in my life, so I'm guided to share it, is that before you go to sleep, ask your soul to show you in your dreams what it is that you really want to do. Ask it to talk to you that way, because we're more receptive when we're asleep, because we don't have our minds running, telling us, you know, all the answers that it doesn't know. But it's just a wonderful way to connect with your own soul, with the truth of you. And, of course, then you have to interpret your dreams, which over time you can do. But sometimes they make it so plain and obvious that there's no way you can miss it. So ask them to make it so plainly obvious that you can't miss it.
Yeah.
Our souls really, really do want us to get it. They want us to understand. They want us to provide to us exactly what we need. We're the ones who don't usually listen.
That's so true. I just wanted to add a little story here. You know, when I went to California, I thought I was having trouble surviving, and I was getting clerical jobs as a temporary, you know, temp, and I wasn't making ends meet, but... And I kept saying to myself, I had a very negative attitude about the fact that I was temping because I had a college education. I thought, is this what I'm supposed to do with my college education? You know, be a secretary. I had a very bad attitude about it. And as soon as I started writing and realized that I would need a job to support me while I did the writing, the job was there. And the job was still clerical, but it was a very, very good job. And it was a very good paying job, and I worked for a very good person. And so it was allowing me, the job that I thought I would hate, was allowing me to have the money to do what I wanted to do. And sometimes that's the path. And it's about finding the good reasons, you know, for the clerical job, if it's helping you to have time to do something else, or it's giving you the support you need to do something else. There is no one way a person's life is supposed to evolve. And just remember that this is an emotional evolution, not a pictorial evolution. You come here to expand the soul within you, the feelings within you, not to make yourself a great big picture. Some people come here with big pictures, but that's their journey. So everybody's journey is completely different, and your soul knows what's right for you. You just have to appreciate what you have, Jules. Appreciate what you already have, because that's how you get more to appreciate. If you're always saying, my life is not what I want it to be, then your life is always not what you want it to be, no matter what happens, because that's your attitude towards it. So change your attitude to, my life is exactly what I need it to be, and then it will be.
Exactly. Okay. So, Pat wants to know, I think we answered that, if you have any suggestions on how to stay in the love. But if you're doing what you love and living in that love, then you are in that vibration of love. Right?
Yes, I didn't hear the beginning of that, but yes, if you're doing what you love, you're in a vibration of love. But your thoughts, the most important part of this is what you carry around in your thoughts. If your thoughts are always, it's so hard. This is not easy, because sometimes your thoughts wander in areas where you don't necessarily want to be, but you feel justified for having them. The only problem is the universe doesn't recognize justification. It doesn't, you know, because we say, well, I can think that because this person did this and this person did that, so why shouldn't I think of them as a louse? Well, there's no reason you shouldn't think of them as a louse, except that that's your attitude, and that's not a healthy attitude in terms of what you want to attract back. So just remember that the universe doesn't recognize justification. Well, I did this because he did that. Well, that isn't seen by the universe as anything except you want to receive that kind of attitude from other people. So it is about staying in the thoughts that you want other people to have around you. You know, how do you want other people to think about you? Do you want to think about, you want them thinking that you're a pain in the ass and they wish they didn't have to see you every day? Or do you want them thinking that you're a valuable contribution to the workforce, or you're a valuable contribution to the family? Because if that's how you want them to feel about you, that's how you have to feel about them.
And it really is, we really are seeing what we are actually thinking and what we feel about ourselves. If you feel that you are just some insignificant piece of nothing that no one will ever love, that no one will ever respect, then that's what you're creating in your life. That's what you're getting in return.
Yes.
You're the one
doing it. It really is. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I just wanted to share an experience that I had with somebody who I worked with, and I couldn't understand why this person had been hired to do the job they did. And I would go home at night, and I would say, why did they ever hire her? She's so lousy at what she does. She's no good at what she does. And I had to answer to this person and my job. And I said, what is this? You know, she doesn't do anything well. She's this, that. I was full of negativity about it. And I never said anything to her face that I didn't like her, didn't appreciate her, anything like that. But she could feel my feelings, and she reacted to my feelings. So I was into my journey by this time, and I realized that that the change was going to have to come from within me. And so I went home, and I wrote a list of all the things that she was good at instead of all the things I thought she was terrible at. And I focused on those good things, and I said them over and over and over to myself, over and over, and that relationship completely transformed, because when I went back into the office with a different attitude, she reacted to the different attitude. It's like, if you think people don't feel what you're thinking, you are delusional. They feel everything, and they may not know why they're feeling it or what exactly they are feeling, but they feel it. So they feel the energy that is coming from you toward them. So if you make that a positive energy, then that person will either respond positively or not be in your life anymore. It's really not that complicated. It's just a matter of reminding yourself over and over how it works.
Yeah, and that is so true. And I can think of people in my life that I literally used to cringe when I saw them. And when I finally accepted, okay, this isn't really what I want to create. And I allowed myself to accept the fact that I did not know why they were making the choices they were making in their life, but it wasn't up to me to judge whether or not they were the right choices, because they were doing what they thought was best in every moment, and the only thing I needed to do was love and accept them. And those people that I used to cringe when I saw actually left my life, because I had apparently learned what I needed to learn from them being around. And
Right. Even
now, if I think about them, I don't have to cringe. I can just say, okay, well, I'm sure they're doing whatever is right for them. And there's nothing more to it.
Yep, That's right. That's how it works.
So, okay, Pat is saying thank you. So I guess that gave her the information that she needed.
Yeah.
And we have two callers, but neither one of them has their hand up. Although I think one of them did have their hand up and they put their hand down.
Maybe they got the question answered.
Maybe so.
So
tell people again the name of this wonderful book and where they can get it.
It's Love Human, Where You Come From and Where You Are Going. And they can go to Amazon and get it, or they can go to my website, which is BetsyThompson.com. And they can, on my website, I have all my books, and they can just click on the book and it takes them to Amazon where they can order it. It's available in hard copy and it's available in Kindle. And that's BetsyThompson.com. And I also have on my website all my social media for Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And that can be found there as well.
Wonderful. Okay, so what do you think is the most important idea in Love Human?
I think the most important idea is the how powerful, that we're much more powerful than we think we are. And we've been talking about this the whole time, and this is basically what the book is about, showing us why and how we are powerful, how we control our attitudes and opinions, and we control the attitudes and opinions that we keep, and the ones that we keep we attract back. So we just have to make sure that we act out the ones we want to receive. And believe it or not, I don't think life is much more complicated than that. We want to make it more complicated, but basically we all want to have a comfortable, loving life. And so it's just a matter of being that loving person to others that we want to receive back. Even if we have millions of reasons for not being nice, it's still about being, you know, seeing the growth, moving on, releasing. When I say to people that it's important to love, it's just as important or more important to say, okay, I can't really love them the way I interpret love, but I can certainly release them to their journey, and that's enough.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And I just love the way you have said that the universe sees everything we think as being love. And so it doesn't see anything wrong with what we think because everything is love.
Yes.
And that's something that we don't really, that no one ever tells us, you know. They tell us that we have to have, you know, the right thoughts. Be the right person, blah, 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 in order to actually be good enough to be loved by God. And the truth is that that love never, ever ends. There's no way it ever could. And everything that we do, everything that we experience, everything that we feel, it's all seen as love. So when you get into that, why do bad things happen to good people? Because there is no bad. There is no good.
That's right. There's no bad. And nobody knows other people anyway. Nobody knows how a person, no one really knows another person completely. You only know yourself completely and not even then.
Yeah, that's
you do your
true.
Best. But don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out other people. Just remember that you're attracting people back into your life who are similar to you or they wouldn't be there. And if you're comfortable with their presence, then wonderful. If you're not comfortable with their presence, you have to ask yourself, what is the reason they're there? They're mirroring something. You just have to find what that something is. You just need to ask yourself, how do they make me feel? And then you'll have your answer, because that's how you're making someone else feel.
Yeah. And your book does a wonderful job of conveying all of this information, and it's easy to understand, it's easier to read, it's not, you know, some 9,000 page book that analyzes every word and blah, blah. Oh, I can't stand those, but I know they have their purpose, but their purpose is not mine. But your book is well written, it's easy to understand, it answers so many questions that we have about who we are and what life is all about. So if you're one of those people that's looking for answers, I definitely encourage you to read Love Human, because it really does give you those answers so that you can actually, you know, spend time thinking about it, looking at your life, seeing who you really are being, what kind of energy you are putting out there into the universe, because that is what is coming back to you always. It's always based in you. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox about the book now. So how has the messages in Love Human influenced you in your life?
Well, the idea that I think I felt like a victim for a long time, and the message in Love Human helped me to feel more powerful. It took me from victimization to feeling powerful. It took me from blaming to accountability. It took me from pain to growth. And as I found the growth, I became appreciative instead of resentful. I mean, I spent the first half of my life blaming everyone else for all my problems. Anyone I could find to blame, I blamed. And that's what took me to being almost homeless. And, I mean, I just attracted a lot of people into my life who were ready to blame me and everybody else for all their problems. And so it was about becoming accountable and being responsible for the energy I was putting out, being responsible for the fact that I had made the choices that got me almost homeless. Nobody else had made those choices. I had made those choices. And so I took responsibility for where I was in my life. And as soon as I became accountable and asked myself how I had grown from making those choices, I mean, it was about finding the growth in what I had done, I mean, the growth even in becoming homeless, because, or almost homeless, because it was finally put me to the place where it was either sink or swim. And I decided to swim. And that's when everything turned around. I'm responsible for where I am. No, in fact, I remember saying to myself, if I got myself in this mess, I can certainly get myself out of this mess. And that empowered me to be the one to act. You know, I was always waiting for everybody else to rescue me, to take care of me, to pull me out of any trouble I got into. And then it was when I took responsibility and said, I'm the one who got here, so I'm the one who has to get me out of it. And the messages in Love Human are all about that, about empowering you to remember who you are, what you're here to do, how powerful you really are.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's so true. Now I can see how my life really began to change when I started taking responsibility for my life, when
yes.
I started changing what I believed about me and about other people. That's really when things turned around. Because
yes.
until then, I was like you. I was waiting for someone, you know, on that big white horse to come up and, you know, rescue the poor damsel in distress. And
well, that's what we were told when we were kids, Barbara. I mean,
I know.
We were all told, you know, we'd find the one person who would rescue us and then we'd be fine for the rest of our lives.
Exactly. And that's just a bunch of
didn't work that way for me.
Well, no, actually we did find the one person who could rescue us, which was us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
It's part of what makes life so incredibly interesting and so much fun sometimes.
Well, it isn't really what happens to us. It's how we deal with what happens to us. It's how we grow from what happens to us. And, you know, once you find, you mentioned this earlier, once you find the growth from what's happened, usually it's like the universe says, oh, okay, well, that experience has served its purpose, so on we go.
Because
the universe doesn't keep
new
stuff.
People.
Yeah, the universe doesn't keep stuff in your life that you don't need anymore, you know, that doesn't have any growth potential for you. It brings you something that does have growth potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's a chapter here in the book about rebirth, and that represents breakthroughs to me, and I think just coming here in the first place is a breakthrough that we set up for ourselves in one way or another. You know, maybe rebirthing into a new body is no different from rebirthing into a new idea today or tomorrow, because both happen for the growth they offer the soul, and both are helpful in one way or another.
Exactly. I'm trying to find something in the first chapter. I was reading really the first chapter of the book. It was like, you know, a million light bulbs going off or a million confirmations of what I believe. I'm not sure exactly how to say it. There was something here that I wanted to read, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, there's so many things you're saying. It's not that I'm reading it again.
Well,
you know,
the chapter is the first chapter is basically who am I, and it talks about who we really are, and it posits that we come here because we want to know ourselves in form, in body, with the same clarity that we know ourselves out of form. And so if our present status ceases to be helpful to our growth, we move on to a different status. It's everything. That's what we were just saying. You know, this chapter reminds us that we don't know what other people need in order to live their lives effectively, and they don't know what we need to live our lives effectively. We're all searching for progress. We're just doing it in our own individual way. And so that's what that chapter is about. It's about knowing that you're here for a reason. You're here because you want to know the beautiful energy you are in the human game, as well as you know the beautiful energy you are when you're out of the human game.
Exactly. And, you know, it talks about self-love, which is something that I talk about a lot. I'm always telling people that learning to love yourself is like the most important thing that you can learn, because it's in loving yourself that you actually start loving everybody and everything else. And there's something that I read that really connected with that in that chapter. Not that I can find it now, but that's okay, because I'm not supposed to.
You know, and loving yourself is giving yourself a break once in a while instead of being so hard on yourself. We're probably harder on ourselves than anyone else is hard on us. If it wasn't a good reason for your being here, you wouldn't be here. Just remember that. Your soul wouldn't have you in a game that wasn't helpful to you. It would have you somewhere else, would have you in another game. And if being in this human game wasn't helpful to you, you'd be in another game somewhere else, in some other planet, some other solar system. So your soul really believed that being here was what was important. And so honor this part of you that has you here, and find what, you know, you can to love about it. I believe that having that attitude of finding what you can to love about it is what changes our lives from the negative to the positive. Pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, it does. Okay, I'm going to read this one little sentence that you wrote.
Okay.
And actually, you wrote it at the end of the chapter. At the end of the chapter, she writes a wonderful sentence for every chapter, but this one. The God within you is the only energy that fully comprehends the meaning and purpose of your life here on Earth. And that is so true, and it is connecting with that energy within us, the God within us, that really brings us the freedom that we're looking for in our lives.
Yes. How true. And everything in the book supports that idea, because the ideas are woven together in a common theme of about the energy we are, and that we have good reasons for everything we live, and that we need to respect the choices we have made, even if they have looked horrible in the picture, or they took us to a place we didn't like in the picture. They had something important to tell us. They had something important in terms of our growth. And the people around us who participated had something to learn from being there. That's important to remember, too.
Yeah, that is so true. And it is so true what you say about judgment. You know, when we let go of that judgment, and I still find myself getting, there are certain people who still just a little bit get under my skin. And they're not bad people, but they just get under my skin.
Then they have something really important to teach you about yourself.
I know, they do, and I've learned some things from these people because they used to really, really get under my skin. Now it's just a little bit. But I find myself, you know, letting go of the judgments that I have about them and the judgments that I have about myself and the whole judgment about getting under my skin. You know, and the more I let that go, the more that I can accept whatever these people say without having to feel anything about them, making any, you know, judgment. I can let that go and just listen and recognize
right.
that, okay, this is what they believe, this is what they're conveying, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And I get to decide what I believe, what I want to accept, and all of that.
Yeah.
And it does give you freedom.
Yes, it is. It's a freedom. That's a really good word, the freedom. When I in the chapter on judgment, it lists all the ways that we the areas in which we tend to judge other people's philosophies, people we think are victims, the idea of war, the idea of abortion, judging the aging, the sick, the handicapped, and I have something that helped me in the book is to evaluate. If you have yourself any inappropriate judgments, ask yourself, if you lived 10,000 years ago, would your present-day philosophy hold up? If you lived 10,000 years in the future, would your present-day philosophy hold up? Because to the energy we call God, all time is now, and all people are one. Therefore, God welcomes the same inclusive philosophy today that God welcomed in the past and God welcomes in the future. So if you ask yourself those questions, it sort of brings you to a place of freedom. That's a good word, freedom. Realize that, you know, is your philosophy something that holds up under those conditions? You know, do you have a philosophy that 10,000 years ago would have been helpful to yourself or to the people around you? Because
yeah.
It is, you know, all time is now to God. It doesn't. It's all this time is like a. At time and day to day, it's all part of the game of playing in the human game. But when we leave here, it all disappears. So when you leave here, are you going to have a philosophy that holds up?
Yeah. And, you know, see, I have another light bulb going off now.
okay.
Because it's reminding me of some people that I know that I would describe them as, well, I think they see themselves as very caring. You know, they're the kind of people that if they watch a commercial on TV about children starving in whatever country they happen to be on, you know, that they actually are going to cry for those poor children. And I thought that, you know, I must be this unfeeling person because I never felt like I needed to cry for those children because there was really nothing to cry about. They're crying about the physical body, which is temporary, and everybody is here for their own learning. And while I don't understand why, you know, you choose to be a starving child in whatever country, I realize that it is your choice, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, because God is with you. You are one with God, and why is there any reason to cry?
Right.
And,
well, the section
in
the book that deals with that is the victims, people we designate as victims. It talks about the judgments we have about these so-called victims we think are left to the hands of fate because of
mm-hmm.
Faulty definitions of good, bad, wrong, and right. So, for instance, the innocent bystanders we believe are unable to defend themselves, the unborn uteri we think are unable to save themselves, the elderly unable to protect themselves, the sick unable to cure themselves, or the handicapped unable to help themselves. But the question we need to ask is, do we really believe that all these people are less powerful, less knowing, less wise, less intelligent, less feeling, and less able to care for their dreams for fulfillment than we are?
Yes, exactly.
You know, they're where they need to be for their edification, whatever it is. To doubt them is to make things right and things wrong, things good and things bad, and it just isn't that way.
No, and we don't really know enough to ever make a judgment about anybody and anything. We really don't know.
Don't know. Bottom line, we don't know.
And I'm okay with not knowing. I just know that God is there and everything is exactly as it needs to be for everybody to learn whatever it is they need to learn, and it's all for their highest good. And I don't have to fix it.
That's right. And there's another one, war, the judgment of war, because we think, we forget that each soul positions itself for personal insight, and war only exists because so many think it is helpful. When no one thinks it is helpful, it will disappear.
Yeah.
So even war, you have to let go of it, you know. Let go. Let the people live it who need to live it.
Exactly. And that was one of my stumbling blocks. I really had this thing about war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm okay with it now. You know, it's just whatever it needs to be. And I think people.
The thing is, if you have an attitude about it, you know, you have an attitude about war and you condemn those who are warring, then you really have joined the warring.
Yeah.
Your attitude has joined you with the warring. And I know that I can mention the next one that I probably get a lot of feedback from other people, but this is what I believe anyway. It's about abortion, and I think we forget that a soul would never be so mindless as to enter a thought where no future existed, if indeed it wanted that future.
Yeah.
And we forget that a soul knows exactly what's going to happen. If a woman is going to abort a child, the soul knows that ahead of time. The soul knows it's going into an idea temporarily because it's practicing, either practicing or it has a gift to give to the person who is having the abortion or whatever. We don't know. But the soul would never make a decision to enter a thought where no future existed if indeed it wanted that future.
That's true, yeah.
And it puts the whole idea in a completely different light.
So many things we fight in life that we really don't need to fight at all.
Yeah.
Well,
people cannot be a victim of what they have chosen to live.
Yeah. Well, if there's no victims, my gosh, what am I supposed to do? I can't have anybody to save.
And you don't save them for their sake. You save them for your sake.
Yeah, I know. I'll just retire my cape and, you know, instead wear, you know, pretty underwear or something. So can you give people your website or a way to get in touch with you?
Yes, it's www.betsythompson.com. And then all my books are on my website. And all my social media is on my website. And all my radio shows are on my website. So they can go and listen again.
Wonderful. And do you actually do individual sessions with people to deal with their issues?
I will. Sure.
Okay.
They can reach me through my website if they want that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and for writing such an insightful book. And I can't wait to see what comes next.
Well, I'm working on it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been delightful.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for the people calling in.
I
was thrilled to talk to them.
Yeah, and they were thrilled to talk to you. So, well, we'll have to have you back with your next book, or if you want to come back before then, just contact me anytime.
Okay, thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thanks to everyone who listened, and I'll be back on Tuesday. Bye-bye, everybody.